Good morning. One day soon, you'll call us home. Yes, yes. We are blessed again to be here this morning. And believe me, I feel some of you, some look like you'd rather be somewhere else. And we definitely understand that. It is sometimes hard to be here together and in the same space as everyone to worship. Some of you are battling certain things that you brought here to worship, and we're asking God to bless you through that. We're asking you to bless God through it. It is sometimes hard to be here, but we encourage you, and that's why through the worship, when we sing and talk about God Almighty, we don't sing and praise worship to our problems. Our problems are less than God. Our problems are not for us, they are against us. But God said in Romans 8, if he is for us, who can be against us? So no matter what problems or things you may be battling this morning, we ask God to bless you through them, and not only bless you through them, but give you the mindset to go through others. That's one of the blessings of being in Christ Jesus, is God allows us to see the finality of everything, and he said that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what you're going through now, Paul even writes, he said, the sufferings that we go through on this earth, the trials, the tribulations that we go through on this earth today, they pale in comparison to what God has lavished on us in eternal life. And that's not only the blessing of eternal life. Jesus said in John 10, I came that you may have life now and have it to the full. The Christian walk is a walk of a better life. That same thing that the world is trying to get without God, it's the same thing that God is trying to get in us through God, through his Son. So if we keep in mind that God is on our side and that God has, as I told my wife, I asked God to finance our life. God has financed our lives. God has made himself the provider, the provision. So we lean on God, and in that we can have the power to live lives that are powerful in this life. And then we get to die and go to heaven. I don't know what heaven is like except what the Bible says, but man, I want to go. I want to go because I want to look Jesus. I want to look God in his face and to say, I love you, to say thank you. I want to be there, and I want to find out what the streets of gold are all about. I want to find out what that tree of life is. I want to find out that river, those golden city. I want to see that stuff. Man, you got to want to see that. Because, man, I don't care what kind of stuff is down here. There's always some kind of to it. You ever have a good blessing, then somebody come along with a. You know, it's always a in your thing. Paul said in Romans 7, he said, man, when I do good, there's a always standing by. Evil is always present. You can be talking about somebody and talking about them real good. You say, you know that girl? You know that guy? Man, they so good. Somebody going to go, eh. So I know, man, I want to get to heaven and see God. We're going to read a little bit about, he says, we're going to be the way he is. I don't know what that looked like, but one day I'm going to get to look at it. Y'all, I'm going to walk around the streets of gold like George Jefferson in the Jefferson. I'm going to have my walk on. I'm going to be, man, listen, I'm going to heaven, and I'm trying to get y'all to come with me. I'm trying to get y'all to stop saying I'm trying to go to heaven, trying to get y'all to live like because we're going to heaven. Man, I'm going to heaven. And listen, if I can do it through God, you can do it through God. I'm going to heaven because I heard of the option. And I remember, you just don't go to the option. Let us bow. Dear great God in heaven, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everywhere, especially when we go back home, Tennessee, when we go back home, I can walk down the street and somebody will look and they'll go, "Are you a Nunley?" They know that, you know, from my hometown, they know that. And they say, "Are you A.B. Nunley's boy? Are you Joanne Nunley's son?" They know that because the way I look. And you know, I've learned that, man, you take on, there's a scripture in Genesis 1, it says, "Let each seed-bearing thing look like its own kind." You know, I look like a Nunley because I came from the Nunleys. But there's also, you look at people who married long enough, don't they look like brother and sister? They do. They look, they married long enough. You look like brother. I know the husband and wife don't think so, but other people look like and say, "Y'all look like each other." Look at Kyle. "I can see you in a dress." No, I was joking. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But no, but you begin to, when you're around something or you have something's DNA in you, you begin to take on those characteristics and look like that thing and move and act and think like that thing where you come from. Somebody asked, they said, "Well, if you look out in the masses, just look." Not being too scientific and not being too religious, where did we come from, God or evolution? I got to pick God every time because God has arms. He has eyes. God could change his mind. God could have feelings. God could talk. God can walk. I can do all that stuff. I don't know what evolution can do. I don't know if evolution cares about me. God does. I don't know if evolution changes its mind. God does. I can. So what I'm come from, that's what I look like. That's a rule of nature. And if you believe in God or not, you have to go by that. If you see a cat, you don't sit there and wonder, say, "I wonder what his parents look like. I wonder if that cat came from a bull or a goat." You know a cat came from a cat, right? So each seed-bearing things bear fruit after its own kind. You look like what you come from. The Bible said, when I'm born of God, guess what? I look like God. You could see. There was my Uncle Jack was in a debate with a Muslim, and a Muslim had a picture of Jesus. Those so-called pictures of Jesus. And the Muslim said, "Well, y'all Christians say that's Jesus right there." And he was debating if it was Jesus being black or white. It was a black Muslim, he being black or white. And he said, "This white Jesus." And my uncle said, "You know what? The picture of Jesus is not on a wall. The picture of Jesus is in the life of a Christian." He said, "If you want to see the picture of Jesus, look at a Christian." That's what, why? Because we are his offspring, then we look like him. So, man, I like when people say, "Are you a Nunley?" I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult. But I like, you know, for people to see, "You look like a Nunley." Why? Because I act like him. I got that pointed head. And every time people know me from my father, they know I'm an A.B. Nunley son. Because when I laugh, I go for it. I go for it, and I'm hitting stuff, and I'm pointing, and I got that from my daddy. People used to say, "Man, A.B. Nunley started laughing, get out of the way," because he always liked to hit people. My daddy go, "Ah!" People go, "Ah!" And I do that. I hit them because I got that from my daddy. That's what I look like. And so I pray that when people see me, they see my real daddy.
I pray they see that's what we look like. I pray when they see Airport Freeway, they don't see a group of people just sitting around on church on Sunday. They see God, you know, in our lives, because that's where we're from. That's what you look like. Keith, if you could, let's start this off. This morning, we're going to look at three things. We look like God because he loves us. Verses 1 through 3. The lawlessness of sin, the second thing we're going to look at, the lawlessness of sin separates us from God. Verses 4. And then the last verses 5 and 6, we're going to look for us, Christ is the end of sin. Amen? For us, Christ is the end of sin. So for the first point, we look like God because he loves us. If you can read John verse 1.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
Now, he said, first of all, see what love God has lavished on us. He poured it out on us. How do we know this? In John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he what? Tell me, what did he do? Gave his only son. Why? That we should have or could have eternal life. So God not only gave us love, but he lavished us. That's a word that means he overdid it. In my mind goes back to Psalm 23. He said, my cup overflows. In other words, God always gives you too much. He always gives us too much love. And that's why that love he gives us is not understandable. It doesn't make sense that God loves me the way I treat him. Doesn't make sense the way God treat me. That doesn't match how I treat him. But why does he do that? Because the love he gave us is lavished on us in the person of Jesus Christ. Like some of you are sitting here right now, don't bit more want to be here than anything. But God still is lavishing his love on you. You ever did something and know you're supposed to get punished? Y'all, come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And God blocked that thing. Why? Because his love is lavished on us. And because his love is lavished on us, we are his offspring through his son. And because we are his offspring, in verse 1, he says, we are now children of God. We look like him, Christ-like, Christian. We take on his DNA. We are born again. We're born of his blood. So we begin to look, act, and think like Christ. We begin to take on the mind of Christ, Philippians, the second chapter. So a Christian's intent is to be able to be formed, not to shape yourself into, but to be formed, to allow yourself to be formed into the image of Christ. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, John 14. The church should say, when you've seen the church, you've seen Christ. Why? There was a fluid following from God all the way to us, because in us is the Spirit of God. And because we have the Spirit, we identified with God and we act and think like God. Now, here's what I mean. That doesn't mean our perfection. That simply means our goals and intent. Jesus said in John, he said, I always do what the Father will. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My goal constantly It's what Matthew 6:33 says. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to keep on seeking God. I want to keep on looking like God. That's my goal. My goal is not me. It's but to look like Christ. Amen. Get for me verse 2 and 3.
Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known.
Now, what we will be, man, what you going to look like when you get to heaven? You know, people drive around, they have an old car, beat up car, but they got those stickers and say, my other car. My other car is a Bentley. My other car, the one you haven't seen. You look at who you are. Listen, there was a craze that started in the 60s and went on up and has been going. Everybody started identifying themselves from their origin in America. We start having African Americans, Asian Americans, Filipino Americans, Mexican Americans, all these different Americans. Well, you got to understand something. If you're trying to identify yourself with your background on this earth, you are missing the mark. You are missing the mark because your origin comes from heaven. God said, when he made the sky, he said, let the firmament and the sky bring forth light. When he made the ground, he said, from the ground, let the vegetation and the beast come from the ground. When he made the fish, he made the fish from the water. Everything that was made from where it comes from is from that thing. But when Genesis, when he gets to man, he didn't say anything about the sky. He didn't say anything about the ground. He didn't say anything about the water. What did he say? He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. From God we came. And from God we shall return. So I am not African American. I'm not Black American first. I am God's first, foremost, and always. Because my origin is not from this earth. I'm from God. So one day I'm going to get to look at the real me. When I look in the mirror, I don't always like what I see. But that other mirror I have to look at, that Larry that God has washed, cleansed, and justified, that Larry, now I don't have to like looking at it. God likes looking at it. And I'm going to be like him one day. And so all this stuff that I go through on this earth, the real Larry is groaning to get out of this body and put on the real body, like he said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. He said, if this body, this earthly body that I have shall be destroyed, then I have a house in heaven, not made with hands. I don't know what that body looks like, but I know it looks better than anything on this earth. That's a good body. And one day I want to go to that body and be with my God for where I'm from. Y'all better say something this morning. That's exciting news. Man, we get to go home one day, take off this old thing, and get to go home to be real in what I'm in. Brother, jump down to me on my second point. Go down to verse 4. Now, here's the second point. We all have this goal and wish to be with God. But the thing that stops us is sin. Read verse 4.
Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness.
Everyone who breaks law, or everyone who sins, they break the law. But I'll tell you something. If you're trying to please God by your actions alone, you're going to fall in the too short category. You know what I mean? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. In Isaiah, he said, all the good deeds of man are like filthy rags before God. What is he saying? In order for you to get out of this earth to get to heaven, you got to be washed by the blood of Christ. Why? Because in Isaiah, he says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Not my going to church, not my giving my money, not my building houses, not even me preaching the gospel, but by God's work and his work alone that I get to heaven. That's why I can say I'm going to heaven. Because a lot of people think when they say this, I'm going to heaven. I know some people say, I'm going to heaven because, and they start listing off stuff they do. I said, oh, you're going to end up short. You're going to end up short. I'm going to heaven because, man, I go to church and I'm not a sinner and I don't go out there and do all this stuff. You're going to end up short. Because every time you say I'm not a, or I do, you not counting stuff that God counts. You know, God counts all those little sins we get away with that nobody else know about. He counts those as sin. You might not count it. God does. You know, so if you're trying to do stuff that God, that you can pat yourself on about, oh, you're doing the wrong, you're patting the wrong shoulder. You're patting the wrong shoulder. It is by the power of God. See, lawlessness is anything without law. Back then in the Old Testament, you know what the law did? The law informed us. The law informed me that I needed a Savior. He going to say, you think you're good, aren't you, Larry? You go to church, you're a preacher, you give your money, you think you're good. Well, let me show you something. I'm going to give you minimum requirements called the law. These are basic, fundamental requirements to live by. And he laid them out before me. He said, don't have another God before me. Larry, sometimes you put somebody else on that throne besides me. No, Lord. Oh, what did you do last time when you got angry? You put your anger on that throne. What did you let last time when your pride swole up? You put your pride on that throne. What did you do last time you was fearful when you were supposed to preach the gospel, but you got afraid and didn't do it? You put your fear on that throne. Oh, Larry, let me let you know, the law didn't come to justify you. The law came to inform you. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. That's why I tell people, I say, I hate when churches make people feel like we are people who got it together. See, when you come to church, people put on these church faces. Well, I got everything. You need prayer? Nope, I'm doing fine. Yes, you do. Everybody needs. I had people reject prayer from me. I said, oh, you need me to pray for you? Nope, I'm good. Okay. You go do toodles. Everybody need prayer. If somebody came to you every minute of the day and said, do you need prayer? Guess what the true answer is? Yes. The power of God. When we try to live outside that lane, that's lawlessness. The law is letting you know you can't do it. And anyone who tries to live beyond that, and what I'm trying to bring that is today, is so many religious folks who are lawless. You know what I'm talking about? That's why I got up last week and I say this all the time. Don't you ever let me be your Bible. Don't you ever let me be your Bible. You better go home and study. You better, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. You better go home and study. Because, man, I'll tell you something. There's some stuff coming. There's some stuff coming. Every time I talk to some people about the gospel and stuff, they say, well, I feel in my heart, the Bible said in John 12:48, for he that rejects him and receives not his word has one that will judge him. The words that he has spoken, these words are judging the last days, not how you feel. Do you know your interpretation of the scripture is not scripture? You know that? We need to remember that. How you feel in your heart and how, well, my pastor said, I don't care if your pastor's Jesus, then yes. Okay, well, my elders and deacons and my mom and daddy said, I always felt in my heart, well, it makes sense to me. We better find out what the word of God says. I'm gonna tell you something. The word wasn't put down here and you could grab it any way you want and do with it what you want. No, the word is one word. That's why Jude wrote in Jude, the third verse, he said, let us contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered. Here's somebody say, well, maybe for the Muslims, God is doing it over there. And maybe for the Jews, God is doing it. And for the Christians, no, ma'am, and no, sir. Jesus is Lord over everything. He's Lord over Muhammad. He's Lord over Buddha. He's Lord over David. He's Lord over everything. We got to remember that. And if you don't believe that, that's lawlessness. You outside that, and you separate yourself from God. I don't care how nice a person is. And I'm not trying to bash anybody. But y'all, we're in a world now to try to just accept everything. They have a church. It's called the Unitarian Church. And they have all religions in it. And they just don't separate. Let's just get together. Y'all, that's not according to scriptures. I'm sorry. There's a lot of good people. I know some very moralistic atheists that are good people. But if they don't change, they are going to be condemned. Y'all, that's a reality. Lawlessness separates us from God. And the last point I want to make before I close up is for us, Christ is the end of this lawlessness. Jesus came to take away sins. How? Because he lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus did it. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15, he said, Jesus was tried in every area as we, yet without sin. Jesus came down, and the Bible says in Matthew, he extended himself beyond the law. He took care of the law. He said, not one jot or tittle shall be done away with before I complete the law. And that jot or tittle simply means I'm going to be very meticulous in doing this thing. I'm going to supersede the law in my perfect life. I'm going to live it. And then I'm going to do something else. We all know dying on the cross. You look at the Gospels and you just, as Tim read this morning, about the different things that he suffered. But if you would get for me Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9 and look what Paul is writing. Start verse 9.
For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form.
In Christ Jesus, the Son, all of the Godhead, the deity, Father and Spirit is in the Son. That's why Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why God said in Hebrews, he said to the Son. God says to the Son, oh God, thy throne is forever. That's why John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or deity. Keep reading.
And in Christ you have been brought to fullness.
And in Christ... in Christ, not on the side of him, but in Christ, you have what? Been brought to fullness. In other words, you don't need Jesus and your horoscope. You don't need Jesus and crystals. You don't need Jesus and knocking on wood. You don't need Jesus and throwing salt over the shoulder. You don't need Jesus and. You have Jesus, you have enough. Keep going.
He is the head over every power and authority.
Every power and authority. That means your boss, your husband, your parents, your mind, your emotions, your sins, your feelings. He is the boss over everything. Keep reading.
In him, you were also circumcised. With
in him. I keep saying that in because, I'll say it later. In him, keep going.
Circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands.
Now, what's circumcision? It is the cutting away. It's the cutting away of the male. It cuts it away. Now, when it's cut away, that part is no longer attached to the male. It's no longer attached. And what happened? It's not connected to him anymore. So therefore, he's not attached to it. So what is this circumcision? He is a circumcision. See, back then, God had Abraham to circumcise the boys on the eighth day, and that was a symbol of being God's people, and that was a circumcision. But now he says, you are circumcised with Christ, but it's not a circumcision made by human beings, not a high priest of human, but this is a circumcision made without hands. It's the circumcision of Christ. Keep reading.
Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ.
Your whole self. In Romans, in Romans the 6th chapter, it calls the old man, the sinful man. He is circumcised. He is cut away from you. In other words, you bear it no more. He's cut away from you. He's not attached to you anymore. He's not a part of you anymore. How?
Having been buried with him in baptism.
Having been buried with him. Where? In baptism. Keep going.
In which you were also raised with him.
In which? Where's the in which? It's in baptism. In which you were also raised. When you're baptized into Christ, you're taken down, you're buried. Why? Because you died with him on the cross. The Bible says we're baptized in Romans 6 chapter. We're baptized into his what? His death. Therefore, since we're baptized into his death, we are buried. When did Christ die? In the grave, in the tomb, or on the cross? On the cross. Well, so when did he die? When do you die? When you say, I reject myself. Acts 2:38, repent. What is that? Turn to God and away from yourself. When you turn away from yourself, you're rejecting yourself. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus rejected himself. So when you repent, that is rejecting of self. You're turning away from who you are, and you're saying, God, take me. Speak, and I'll hear. Command, and I'll obey. You're repenting. And then he says, to be buried with him. You died to self. Now you're dead. Now be buried with him. Keep reading.
In which you were also raised with him.
You were raised coming out of the water. You were raised with him.
Through your faith in the working of God.
That's why I said Mark 16:15-16. He that believes and is baptized. See, if you get down that water, you say, I'm just only doing this because I want to do this, and I want to, and it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Guess what? You just got wet. It has to be done according to faith. And the Bible said faith is based on knowledge. There's some people who've been baptized the wrong way, but they just say, well, I've been baptized. Well, you got to get baptized according to the scriptures. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing the word. So you got to get baptized according to the scriptures. So he get baptized, and what is happening? The circumcision. When you go in there, you are raised. Keep reading. You're raised.
Raised through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
You're raised. In some versions, it said through the operation of God. You know what the operation is? The circumcision. Back then, when Abraham circumcised, he was doing an operation. You're raised through the operation of God, or through the workings of God. When you go in the water, you are circumcised with Christ. It's cut away. He cuts away the old Larry, and that Larry's supposed to be dead. That's why when you come up, you don't live to Larry, you live to Christ, Romans the 6th chapter. But keep reading.
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh.
Notice what he says. When you were dead in your sins and in the what?
Uncircumcision.
In other words, you hadn't been cut yet. That dead skin is still attached to you. And you are still responsible. Why? Because it's attached to you. And when you allow God to circumcise you in baptism, he cuts it away. But he says here, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your heart,
God made you alive in Christ.
He made you alive in Christ. How?
Through the circumcision. Through the circumcision, he cut it away so Larry could stop living by Larry's ways and live according to the scripture. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Y'all understand? And if you go on to read, I'm not going to read all of that. When you go on and read, you will see Jesus put to shame everything that was against you. And he talks about the handwritten ordinance. He's talking about the law. That was against you. Paul even said, anybody under the law, they're under a curse. So here we go. If you haven't been circumcised, you're going to get the opportunity right now. Let us stand. You're going to get the opportunity right now to be circumcised. We have water. We don't have baptizing Sunday. Every day is baptizing Sunday. Why? Because we believe that if you need to be circumcised, you don't need to wait. You don't need to learn if you could call the preacher pastor. You don't need to learn what's the name of the churches. You don't need to learn how much money you need to give. You need to know this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? It is by his stripes you are healed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you're baptized in his name, Father, Son, and Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, do you believe if you're baptized in that way that he'll wash your sins away, he'll circumcise them away, that he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit and add you to his family, the church? That's all scripture. And that's the only way we can baptize people according to scripture. If you believe that and you haven't done it, or you got baptized and they told you something else that you can baptize for some other reason, and it's not according to scripture, you have an opportunity right now to be circumcised according to the scripture. And if you do that, we will gladly be God's hand right now and baptize you in his name. Let us say.